The ninth Sunday after Pentecost, the epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, these things came to pass as examples to us, that we should not lust after evil things even as they lusted, and do not become idolaters even as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication even as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted and perished by the serpents. Neither murmur as some of them murmured and perished at the hands of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as a type, and they were written for our correction, upon whom the final age of the world has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. May no temptation take hold of you, but such as man is equal to. God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also give you a way out, that you may be able to bear it. The gospel is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, he saw the city, and he wept over it, saying, If thou hast known in this thy day, even thou, the things that are for thy peace, but now they are hidden from thine eyes, for days will come upon thee, when thy enemies will throw up a rampart about thee, and surround thee, and shut thee in on every side, and will dash thee to the ground, and thy children with thee, and will not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And he entered the temple, and began to cast out those who were selling and buying in it, saying to them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. In the epistle, St. Paul is referring to the Jews while they were in the desert. He's talking about various things that are befalling the Jews because of their infidelities to God. And he says, and these are a type for us. That is, what's happening to them in a material way is to remind us of the spiritual life that we live now. This is an important spiritual truth, that we look to the things that have happened for our benefit. So they are written for us. And oftentimes in the Old Testament, the Jews were only, they would have all the laws and the regulations and the rules, and that became their focus. They only focused on the externals. And the Pharisees were very good at this at the time of our Lord. They were so focused on the law, which is important, but they then ceased to remember, they forgot what the whole purpose of all those laws were. That is for the interior life. This is why in another place in the Gospel, our Lord talks about the Pharisees. He said they are whitewashed sepulchres, which just contain bones inside. You know, it's like a beautiful white building, but it's just a tomb inside. There's death. And so the Pharisees, who were focused on externals, they had a really beautiful external, so they had their robes very nice, and they were very vigilant in doing the proper external ceremonies. But inside, they failed to recognize that those should come from the inside. And for those of us who go to the extraordinary form, it's very easy for us to slide into that type of thinking, where we become obsessed by the externals. You know, we try to have a very beautiful liturgy, beautiful music. We're trying to have a beautiful sanctuary. We have beautiful vestments. And it is for our edification. And there are certain ceremonies that we do, but we want to make sure that we do not slide into just external observation. That what we do externally should flow from our interior. And it's important for us to remember this. And so I'm going to go over a number of things. I've gotten questions through the years on a lot of little things about the faithful. What do you do at Mass? But I want to make sure, though, that we remember that when I do go over these, that they're supposed to flow from our interior. So I often get questions on genuflections. You know, when do you bow, Father, and when do you genuflect? Father so-and-so, or I learn you're supposed to bow, but I see everyone here genuflecting. At the extraordinary form, 99.99% of the time, the faithful genuflect. There is no bow in the extraordinary form except under very, very rare circumstances that you don't really have to worry about. If you're in the church outside of a time when we're having a liturgical ceremony or preparing for a liturgical ceremony, if there's no Blessed Sacrament on the altar, say if we're doing repairs to the church or something like that, but the altar is set up for Mass, then you would bow. And that's the only time. And that would be very rare. On Good Friday, you just genuflect. And other times, you just genuflect. So the rule is, just genuflect and you'll be fine. That 0.1% of the time is not, you don't have to worry about it. And you genuflect, and so people say, well, how do you genuflect? You genuflect on your right knee. Your right knee. And you're bowing your knee to our Lord. Just like St. Paul says, every knee on earth, under the earth, and above the earth will bend at the name of Jesus. And so when we come into the church, we're here not just, you know, bending our knee into the name of Jesus, but we're bending it to Him Himself truly present here. So the genuflection is to the tabernacle. It's not to the altar, it's to the tabernacle. You're blessed, really to Jesus in the tabernacle. You're bending your knee to Him. You're getting down on one knee. The genuflection also is not a position. You don't, it's a motion. You touch the knee and then you arise. You don't kind of land on your knees for a few seconds and then come up. It's just a touch. So I'm going to demonstrate it really quickly here. So it's just on the right knee like this. And it's just like that. Doesn't have to be anything more than that. Sometimes people bless themselves. That's fine. You can do that. That's not required. Or other type of devotional actions. It's fine. It's just one knee, bang, and that's it. It's as simple as that. But when we do that, though, our interior should reflect that act of adoration to our Lord. You know, St. Teresa of Avila, when she would come into the chapel, and she would do her genuflection. Interiorly, she would say, Your Majesty, because she would recognize that He was the true King. And she would look to the church as His throne room. And so that was her interior disposition that then should flow over to our exterior disposition. So it's important to remember that we don't get obsessed with externals. So that's how a genuflection is done. Where do you do the genuflection? You do the genuflection at your closest approach to our Lord. So you enter the church, take holy water, you come all the way up, you genuflect, and then go into your pew. Your closest approach. When you leave, you genuflect, and then you go out, and you can take holy water or not. It's not required when you leave, and then you just leave. You don't have to do a genuflection again before you exit the church or anything like that. Your closest approach to our Lord. And the other time is when you cross the center. So if you're in the back and you're going from one side to the other, you genuflect in the center and then you go over. Those are the two rules on genuflection. So if you're in the back row back there and you want to move closer because you can't hear well and you come up closer, then you would exit your pew. You wouldn't genuflect there. You'd come all the way up. Then you genuflect to go in your pew. If you want to move backwards, then you come out, genuflect, you go all the way down, and then you just go into your pew without genuflection. It's as simple as that. If you go from this side, you come out, genuflect, you go around, genuflect in the center, then come around up this aisle, genuflect, then go in. Three for one motion. Or you could come into the center, come up, genuflect, and over. One. So, same action. So you can economize on this also. Now, in the sanctuary, there are some different rules for genuflection. So you might see a few extra genuflections here, but don't worry about that. That's the main rule for genuflection for regular times in the church. Now there's another type of genuflection that's called the double genuflection. That's where you go down on two knees. And it's not like you genuflect once and again, but double in the sense of two knees, you bend. And I'll just demonstrate that here. You just go down two knees, you just do a little head bow, and then you stand up. So it's like this. And then you stand up. When do you do that? You do that when our Lord is exposed out of the tabernacle. When the tabernacle doors open, when you have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, our Lord is in the monstrance, or when we have simple exposition like we have every day here, when the tabernacle doors open and you can see the you could see the monstrance, or after the consecration, all the way up to communion, when our Lord is on the altar, you do the double genuflection to respect that special presence, that he's not just in the tabernacle, but now he's here, sort of exposed for us to look at. So it's important that after the consecration, if you have to leave for some reason, you're supposed to do a double genuflection. Same rule, though, you just do it at your closest approach, and then you go. So if you have a child you have to take to the bathroom, and they have to go right after the consecration, that's what you're supposed to do. Okay? And so, like, when we have daily exposition here, you're supposed to do the double genuflection at your closest approach. You don't have to walk backwards out of the church. I see people doing that, and I'm just waiting for someone to trip and fall. Don't walk backwards. Just turn around and walk out. If you really want to, you then go down the sides if you don't want to turn your back on our Lord in the center. This is during daily Mass when we don't have a lot of people in the church. So that's the rules for genuflection. Now, you say, but Father, what about communion? Are we supposed to do a reverence here at the front of the line? No. Your reverence is you're kneeling at the altar rail. That's your reverence. There's no genuflection at the front of the line and then come and kneel. Just come up and kneel, receive communion, and then you depart. And usually it's if you have to cross in the front here, you wouldn't do a genuflection there. You just, if you're over here, you receive communion, and then if you go around that way, it's fine not to do a genuflection. There's no reverence at the front when you receive communion. You come out, your closest approach is in the altar rail, you're on two knees, you get up and go back to your pew. No need for any extra things. Okay, I think this is confusing because in the new Mass, they try to encourage a reverence before you receive communion, but you don't have to do that here. Okay, now, someone might say, but Father, I have an artificial knee and I can't bend my knee. Okay, you do the best you can. Sometimes if people's right knee doesn't work well, they do the genuflection on the left knee. That's perfectly fine. I'm not going to throw you out of the church for doing that, okay? Some people might say, well, Father, I have two bad knees. What do I do? Do the best you can. Then you do a bow. You try to do a bow. Well, Father, I have bad knees and a bad back. Well, okay, we'll figure something out. You just do something, you know, do a head bow. Okay, so we don't want to get too rigorous on this. Also, if you have to take your child to the bathroom after the consecration and you have another child in one arm and a diaper bag in the other arm and you're trying to lead another one by the hand, you do the best you can. You don't have to do a double genuflection and then drop the diaper bag or something like that. Just maybe if in that kind of case, you know, it's fine to do a bow on your way out. Our Lord knows you got your hands full and you're balancing two children. And this is where we can get a little pharisaical if we begin to say, oh, you have to do a double genuflection there. I don't care if you have two kids in a diaper bag. No, we need to be realistic. Okay? So we don't want to get too pharisaical on these things. Okay. Now, another time is when we then do a procession with the Blessed Sacrament. So on Holy Thursday and Corpus Christi, when the Blessed Sacrament comes by, you kneel. Always. Unless, of course, your knees don't work, and then you do a profound bow. But I remember in years past when the teenagers would be there, and I know they have good knees because they're running around, and we have to whisper to them, kneel down as we go by. So we want to kneel as the Blessed Sacrament goes by, and then you can stand up. If you're in the procession, of course, you wouldn't kneel because you're in procession. Okay. What else? Okay. So when you enter the church, we take holy water. Holy water, when you enter the church, to remind you of your baptism. Your baptism is what permits you to come into the church. And that holy water, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen, to remind you that you are baptized in the Trinitarian formula. And that's what you do. You just do that. Sometimes people do some extra things. That's fine. It's not required. Bless yourself with holy water when you enter, and you can just do it as you just pick it up and just keep going. You don't have to do a genuflection there or anything, and you go into your pew. As I said, holy water, strictly speaking, isn't really required on your way out, but it's fine if you want to do it on your way out. It's perfectly fine. What else? When we process in during solemn mass, we have a crucifix, a crucifer, and then we also have the priest. Here in our parish, oftentimes people will genuflect to the crucifix and they'll bow to the priest as he goes by. That is completely optional. That is something that we've started here. I think it's fine if it happens, but it is not required at all to reverence the crucifix and the priest during the procession in or the procession out. If you go to a Latin Mass in someplace else, they won't do that. And so don't be scandalized or shocked. Those people were more pious than them. No, we don't want to get external like that. It's a good devotion to do. I'm not telling you not to do it, but just realize it's something extra. Now, when we do the asparagus, it's not at this Mass, it's at the 9 o'clock Mass. We'll sprinkle with the holy water at the beginning of Mass. That is equivalent to blessing yourself with the holy water as you come in. That is sort of the more solemn form of that. So again, you just bless yourself. You can genuflect if you want, it's fine. But it's the blessing that's important, just like the holy water. If you don't get sprinkled with the holy water, if we shoot it in your direction and you don't get it, you still bless yourself anyway, because it's like the blessing kind of hits you then. So you just bless yourself in that case. But as I said, the genuflection is not as important. So, what else? So, sometimes for the responses. So, here in our parish, we do a lot of the responses, which is perfectly fine. I say Dominus Vobiscum, people respond, Et cum Spiritu Tuo, that's fine. If you ever go, though, to another Latin Mass in the United States, oftentimes the faithful don't make a response. I am perfectly fine with people making responses. I think it's actually more fitting. It's kind of a little, I don't know, I always wonder, when I turn around and say, Dominus Vobiscum, all you people, may the Lord be with you, and then only the altar boy responds. You know, it's like, I'm saying it to everyone, so I think it's fitting that everyone responds. But again, that's optional. It's good that we do it. It's perfectly fine. However, some of the things that shouldn't be said at Mass is the Our Father. The Our Father is only done by the priest, and then the faithful make the response, sed libera nos a malo. Also, the other prayers at Mass, what happens sometimes is people will have their missal and they'll be reading along and they'll be reading silently. But then sometimes what happens is they start whispering those prayers. Don't whisper the priest's prayers, because even if you're in sync with the priest, you're not supposed to be sort of audibly doing that. And sometimes it can be, you can throw people off around you also, because they might not be exactly where you're at, and it becomes difficult. So you shouldn't whisper the priest's prayers. And that sometimes naturally happens, like I say, if you're following in the missal. We want to avoid that. I'm trying to think if I covered most of the things I wanted to cover. And then finally, another good devotion that we do in the United States. I knew a priest from France many years ago. He said one of the nice things about America is that the faithful still have the devotional practice of bowing their head at the name of Jesus. If you notice, Father will take his beretta off and he'll bow his head. And if you watch the priest during Mass, if you're really close, you can see him bowing his head as he says the prayer, as he says a prayer with the holy name. And that's a good devotional practice to do also, for us to bow our head at the name of our Lord. So we want to practice these exterior actions. We want to do them properly, but also we don't want to do them as Pharisees. We want to make sure that we have that proper interior devotion to our Lord, that we're genuflecting and we're thinking about it. My Lord and my God, who's truly present here for us. We think about the holy name and we do a little head bow. The name in which every knee will bend on earth, on the earth, and under the earth. When we receive communion, we kneel at the altar rail, if we're able to, in order to receive communion. Why? Because that is a proper, humble posture for us when receiving our Lord. So these externals, especially in the extraordinary form, we can become too obsessed by them and become Pharisees. It's important to do them, but we want to make sure that we have the right interior disposition for our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.